Blessings and welcome to the 1955 Kai Lewis Study Series, Chapter 24, Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now this chapter seems to be pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Seems to be a review of some of the principles we've had before. And Joel himself said that the infinite way can be repetitious. And that's probably because we are so hard-headed. We've been relying on people, places, and things, and then on thoughts for a long, long time. He starts us off with, there is only one demonstration that we ever need to make, and that's the demonstration of truth, or spirit. And we know that because we've said in the past that the only demonstration we have to make is the presence. Only here it's called the spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is the truth. Where the consciousness of the presence of God is, there is liberty. And of course we know that, well, as he says here on the next page, the only liberty there really is a liberty from the thoughts and things of the world. When you secure your liberty, you secure it from the thoughts and things of the world. Now, the way that came to me was, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty from the belief in mortality. And of course, that's what constitutes the thoughts and things of the world, is a belief in mortality. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to set at liberty the captives, those that are still caught up, attached to the thoughts and things of the world. So you can expect when that Spirit is upon you, in your meditation, that in one way or another you can look for there to be a freedom from attachment to thoughts and things of the world. There would be no use in trying to demonstrate health or supply or happiness because they are not to be achieved, separate and apart from the demonstration of the Spirit. So he's in agreement that the only thing we need is to demonstrate the Spirit. And when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, when you have the conscious feel of it in your meditation, there should be a demonstration. And the demonstration should be first the release within, and then that appears as liberty from the thoughts and things of this world. So, he says here, we have one desire, and that is for the realization of this Spirit, to feel the presence of God, to become aware in one way or another of an actual transcendental spiritual presence and power. That should be your one desire, to become aware of a transcendental presence and power. We have a major theme, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Achieve the realization of the Spirit of the Lord and let it appear in whatever form it will, and dispense with our problems as it will. So that's the demonstration. He calls it a major theme. He doesn't say that too often. So I would gather from that this principle, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, is a major principle. Now he says, the Spirit of the Lord is as tangible as anything that you see here. Just as concrete, just as evident to spiritual sense. And I wonder, you who are in this class? Is it just as tangible, just as concrete to you? Has your spiritual sense within been opened? Or is it still something you have yet to experience? He says, in the life of every seeker after God, there must come a time for that experience. A time when they say, I've certainly read about it long enough, and I've heard about it long enough. But actually, I don't even know if it's true, because I have never experienced it. I've heard people speak of it, I've read it in books, and I've sometimes seen the look on their faces when they experienced it. But I still haven't felt it myself, that Spirit of the Lord. If you're practicing the 8 to 10 to 12 times a day, you will experience that Spirit. If you've been following us right along here in these classes, you know that it is the experience of that Spirit that will set you free and demonstrate itself. In fact, the very moment that the Spirit of the Lord touches you, you are transformed. He says the transformation may not be great in the visible, but it is great within. It's only a very short period of adjustment after the Spirit of the Lord has touched one inwardly, then they understand the meaning of rebirth or being born again, and they are not the same person they were yesterday. So bit by bit it becomes evident in the outer world. And sometimes it becomes evident in negative appearances. Only those who lose their lives can gain it. You see, we give up our material sense of supply. We give up our material sense of companionship, of health. We just said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom from attachment to the thoughts and things of this world. Here we thought we were going to experience the Spirit of God and all these things would be added, right? Well, that's true to a certain extent, but not the things you thought would be added. Because when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, when you begin to experience it in your meditation, when you surrender to it, to that infinite Spirit, allow it to start moving things around, allow it to demonstrate itself, form itself as it will, it breaks down and dissolves your material sense of supply or companionship or health. And this sometimes appears as a negative appearance. And he says, there was an interval when observers looking at my demonstrations might have said, and some of them did say, you've given up the reality for a dream. And like all dreamers, you're starving in an attic, and it serves you right. Now that's what they said to him. So, don't be afraid if it begins to break things up. I used to say it this way. When I really surrendered and asked God to take over completely, it began to undo and take apart everything I had put together. And I got scared at first. It seemed like I was losing those things, those people, those friends which I loved. Yet I had said, God, you build the house. You know, the scripture that's in front of every Infinite Way book? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Well, God had to undo everything that the mind had tried to assemble and put together in order to give me the permanent spiritual gifts or demonstration that it had ready and waiting. Now, I'm sure there are better ways to explain that, but you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes when the Spirit is upon you and you begin to live by it, live by way of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God as that Spirit, then it begins to dissolve your material sense of supply, companionship, and health, and it might look like you've lost something, but you haven't. That's necessary to go through in order to gain the spiritual sense of supply and companionship and health. And when you have the spiritual sense of them, he'll probably say it, but they're permanent. In other words, if you are in a marriage, it will be permanent and not a temporary thing that breaks down and dissolves at the first disagreement or the first outside problem that comes in. So when you have the spiritual sense of marriage, God will be the cornerstone, the single most important thing for both of you. And that will bring about a oneness of purpose and intent, and it will be permanent. So the spiritual sense of companionship is permanent. And deeper than that, you'll come to see, well, I came to see that that one presence is that which formed my wife. At the center of my wife is the presence that I feel in my meditation that I love so much. So you can see that it's permanent. And it brings about a permanent sense of supply so that we learn nothing out here is our supply. Even our job or our income is not our supply. But rather, our invisible spiritual supply is appearing as our job or our income. And so you see where we make the transition in consciousness from a material sense of things to a spiritual sense of things. And we learn that our body does not give us life, but the invisible spirit, life, gives us, forms itself as body. So we, loss often precedes gain. When at first we come to that place where we're really experiencing the spirit, and stepping aside so that it can manifest. But he says, they couldn't see that that was breaking up the old form, and then the new appearing. And so I went through the same experience with physical health. See, he had a material sense of health. I've only had one illness in 25 years, but that one made up for the whole 25 years. And it was a necessary thing at that time to save me from making the mistake of boasting of my health. Sooner or later, we all have to realize health is not me or mine or of my body. Health is of God. And supply is not of me, nor does it belong to me. It is of God. And so sometimes there's the breaking up of our material reliances, and it will take a negative appearance, as if we're giving up something. But once the Spirit of the Lord has touched you, well, you're not touched by outer appearances anymore. They don't concern you, even while you're going through the discords, because you recognize them to be a part of the transitional experience. So, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom from attachment to a material sense of a universe, or a material sense of life, or body, or a material sense of supply, or a material sense of companionship or love. It is going to set you free from this world. And so what if some of these things break up? Let them go. Let the Spirit manifest its glories, its harmonies, its life, its health, its supply, its companionship. And then all of these will be permanent, in fact, eternal, because the source is eternal. Then, should anything out here have a negative appearance, it will no longer bother you. He says you can walk right through it because now you have a spiritual sense of these things and you're no longer attached. The very minute that the Spirit of the Lord touches you, all of this outer world fits into its place, and from then on only one thing is important, and that's the fulfillment of one's spiritual mission. And that which is gained is more than compensation for that which the world says is lost. All right. I think we understand that. But none of this is real, he says. None of this is real to any individual if they have attained the Spirit of the Lord and found their liberty, their complete freedom from all concern for the things and thoughts of this world. So we have to pass through that. If we're still clinging, there's no other way to freedom but to look to the Spirit, to have your quiet times, to release that Spirit, and then let go, stop clinging, as it reforms your entire existence. And it really does. Trust me. Now, it's necessary for us, all those in this room and those that are listening to these talks, to actually take it upon themselves to determine that now is the time for them to attain this Spirit. Those who have been led to this point are at the point of readiness to experience the presence of the Lord. If you're hearing this talk, some way or another you've been led to it, and that is the assurance you have that you are ready to experience this Spirit or this presence of the Lord. So if you haven't yet experienced it, just keep on, you're going to. But if you have experienced it, then this next part is for you. Those who have experienced it must come to that place where they can experience it at will. You're going to come to the place where you can sit down in the midst of 50,000 people at a baseball game or a football game and turn within and contact this Spirit at will. Or where you can sit in the quiet of a mountain forest next to a quiet running stream and feel the wind on your face and turn within and get quiet and feel the Spirit, contact the Spirit at will. So the next step for us that are beginning to or have been experiencing this is to learn how to contact it at will. Because that's the promise. We will learn how to move in and out, be in the world but not of it, walk up and down the world but not partake of it, and walk in and out of the past, the present, and the future. We will be able to walk in and out of the discords and in harmonies, and yet maintain our own spiritual identity in the kingdom of heaven here and now. Because we have the power to lay it down and the power to pick it up. Now that wasn't just true of the Master. Remember, everything he said was a principle that you and I must and will attain. And so those of us who can walk in and out are those who attain the kingdom of heaven, but also walk on earth. You can walk in and around the heavenly scenes even while walking the streets of the universe. And so, wherever one is touched, he says, if you are touched by the Spirit and it's beginning to demonstrate itself, others will quickly follow. Because always the presentation of the Christ has to come through an individual, and that individual is you. And so he repeats his vision. As the world comes into it, it comes into it because of individuals. One individual in this city and one in that, and a small group in the other. And so the circle spreads until it encompasses the universe. Now he says this a couple of times in this chapter. There is a Christ, there is a Spirit of God, to be realized, to be attained. And the time is here when every individual must be the showing forth of that Spirit. Now, several months ago, and I wrote it today, posted it on the Mystical Principles list, I had a meditation, and I write in a journal what comes. And this was back in March of this year, 08. And what came was, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In other words, if the Spirit is upon you and flowing through you and demonstrating itself, you are an emanation of the Godhead. God itself, as Spirit, is demonstrating through you. So at that moment in time, you are an emanation of God itself. That's your identity. But when you're not, when the Spirit isn't upon you, operating through you, when you're thinking thoughts and attached to the thoughts and things of this world, then you are a mental projection or an illusion. Now, which one do you want to be? Well, the time has come when we must not look for a savior in a person, but we must look for a savior within, in the Spirit. Because that savior is the emanation of God itself, demonstrating itself, remaking your life. Now, when that happens to you, you know you've been reborn. You have come into the conscious awareness that there is a deeper part of you, deeper than the mind, and it is a spirit or a consciousness, and it emanates from God. And you are born into the awareness of that, and you are born at first taking baby steps as that emanates and flows through you. And sometimes you're in it and sometimes you're out, so you're sort of flipping back and forth for a while. But when you really know that that alone is the Savior, that's the only thing that can transform, then you'll be eager to return again and again within yourself, because it's only there that you can contact it. As beautiful as a tape or a talk might be, as wonderful as a book such as The Thunder of Silence is, the contact, the Savior, can only be found within, in that Spirit. And so the Spirit must be achieved by you and by me individually. You see that? This is something that we have to do. Every individual must come to the time where he says, All right, I will place no value on any things, any beliefs, any doctrines, any creeds, even any teaching. From now on, I will center my entire consciousness on attaining the Spirit, and let it be my guide, my teacher, and all that I am to this world. He says, the most that a teaching can do is to lead an individual to the realization that there is a kingdom of God within them, and give them the inspiration and the desire to achieve it. And the most that a spiritual teacher can do is to open the consciousness of those individuals who look to him, so that they may attain the realization and demonstration of the Spirit, the real Savior, the real truth. The major theme, as he called it, is where the Spirit of the Lord is, well, you will be transformed. In every age there have been mystics, and every mystic has been enabled to open the consciousness to the actual Spirit. But then the world went on its merry way to destruction, because those who attained it from their teacher did not go and do likewise, but rather stayed back to worship that teacher. And I see some of this, not a great deal of it, but I see some of this with Joel Goldsmith. Many, many people that quote Joel Goldsmith. And yet, that's not the answer. The answer is to find the Spirit that animated Joel Goldsmith, because it will animate you when you find it. The Spirit that wrote the Infinite Way and spoke the Infinite Way will speak it through you, because that Spirit is your own consciousness. You have, in your true identity, the consciousness of the entire Infinite Way, and that which has not yet been spoken or written. But you've got to go within to find it. So he says, that is a mistake that we are not making and will never make. Everyone here who attains through this work the touch of the Christ is expected to open the same avenue of consciousness for others as it has been done to them. And so now you know why I am making these talks. I don't have a choice. This is the expectation. To him that has, much is expected. And for me to sit up on my mountain and enjoy the fall color of the leaves and contemplate God's goodness and feel that spirit and never open my mouth would be something that the universe can't tolerate. So here I am talking away, singing my song, and that's what he says next. Let it be the song in your heart. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Wherever the realization of this Spirit is, which is, realization is the feel of it, the conscious awareness of it, there is a freedom from the thoughts and things of this world, from the cares and concerns of this world. And then there is the attainment of divine grace, the things of the spiritual world. But you'll never know what the things of the spiritual world are, which are have been saved out for you, just as there was 5,000 saved for one prophet. You'll never know what's been saved out for you until you turn away from the thoughts and things of this world and contact that spirit within. And then wherever a consciousness is available through which God can function, there is an entrance for God, the Christ, into human consciousness. And I think sometimes we forget that. We kind of get this ethereal, invisible, spiritual something, I don't know what. And then we forget that it's not real unless that Christ, that Spirit, not only sets us free from the thoughts and things of this world, but manifests, forms itself in our experience out here. Wherever you are in meditation, remember, the purpose of meditation is merely to open yourself to the Spirit. As the Spirit of the Lord finds outlet through your consciousness, it touches the life of another. It touches their consciousness to awaken it, touches their bodies to bring what we call healing. Now, this is straight from Joel, so if you have a problem with it, perhaps you need to review some of the earlier chapters. But it says here, when that flows through your consciousness, that Spirit, as you step aside, it, the Spirit, touches someone's life. It finds outlet through you, and it touches someone's consciousness to awaken them. And it touches their bodies, to bring what we call healing. In opening your consciousness for the activity of the Christ, and by not restricting it or directing it, you permit it to escape into human consciousness and bring with it God's grace. Now, that's an important point. I have that circled, or directing it. We sit down in meditation a lot of times. We have a sore leg, or we have income we need increased, or there's a problem with a relationship, and we want to contact that spirit and direct it into that area. Well, that's a no-no, because then you have more wisdom than God. God is omniscience, and yet when I do that, I'm telling God what he needs to do and where he needs to do it. So that's why there's the necessity to drop all that and don't do any outlining for how God is supposed to appear or form itself or direct it. We are simply to make that contact and release all that and let it form itself. Wherever you are open to the activity of the Christ, the Spirit of the Lord enters and sets you free from the thoughts and things of this world. But it also touches the consciousness of others in your circle. Now, he said that Spirit of the Lord sets you free from thoughts and things of this world several times in this chapter. Now, what's the difference in your approach of being of help spiritually? By remembering instantly Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You will lose all sense of personal responsibility, having to do something or know something or understand something. And you will immediately sit back in the realization, well, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So let me now attain the realization of that Spirit. Let me be still and at peace. See, this paragraph is the same as saying, you will go within and you will remind yourself, thy grace is my sufficiency, and then you'll rest and be still for 3 to 4 minutes. The approach is always the same. He's just giving it to you again in a different form. And so it is repetitious, isn't it? Again and again and again, we need to hear this. And you will learn to abide in stillness, in peace, in quietness, in confidence, until that feeling of the presence touches you. And then you will say, ah, yes, okay, it is done. And then you can truthfully say, God has done it. Without any feeling on your part, look what I did, or look what I thought, or look at what my understanding is. Because now you will clearly perceive your understanding has nothing to do with it. Your mental work has nothing to do with it, because you didn't do any. It was a spiritual experience, not a mental one. And that's beautiful. Isn't that just great? That's a really good 2 paragraphs. If you were to say, well, okay, now in chapter 10, I learned about doing this thing 12 times a day, and in chapter 21 or 2, I learned about how to approach people when they ask me for help. And right here, here's another example of how I can make myself a nothingness, which he's going to say in a minute. You see, there is a Christ. There is a Christ healing influence. There is a spiritual power, a spiritual presence, but you don't direct it. But you can be an instrument through which it is released into the experience of those who touch you. And the way you do it is to begin with, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or thy grace is the sufficiency in every case. And then you attain the feeling of thy grace being on the field and let it flow out into the world of experience and do its own work. You just become the instrument. That's why we'll get into that in a minute. Why flow through me as an instrument? Because I have realized its presence and thereby made a nothingness of myself sufficient for it to take over. Now there's 2 steps there. You make a nothingness of yourself by taking the example of what he says when he says, okay, you sit down and you realize, well, none of my thinking has anything to do with this, so let me just be quiet. That's a making a nothingness of yourself. That's 1 step that's required. The second one is realizing its presence or feeling its presence. Now, that's the whole thing to spiritual healing. If at any time you are presented with a problem, your own or somebody else's, and if at the instant you are presented with it, you close your eyes and realize, none of my thoughts will do anything, so let me be still, and then are still for those 3 to 4 minutes, and you feel the Spirit flow in, you will have a healing, or rather, you will witness or behold a healing. In the infinite way, when it said, be a beholder, it doesn't say anything about being Christ. It says, be a beholder. So attain that state of consciousness that can sit back and behold God at work, without saying, oh, I did it, or I'm needed. Now, we begin in this work to do it without the benefit of words or thoughts, just by the expectancy within us, the silence, the listening, the inner peace. See how important it was for us to go through chapter 10, where we learned about the 12 times a day for 3 to 4 minutes? The whole foundation of everything in the infinite way is based on, resting on, Joel's ability to make that contact, which took him 8 months from 10 to 12 times a day. But he persisted, and he persisted. And if you persist and persist, you will contact, you will feel that Spirit. And then you can know, as sure as you know that you're sitting right where you are, that that spirit will begin to break up your attachment to thoughts and things of this world and begin to manifest as the spiritual sense and will give you that which it has saved out for you from the beginning. So we can forget all about the letter of truth today because we all know the letter of truth. From now on, we can sit here now without thinking of any of these things and merely open ourselves to the experience of the Spirit. If we had not taken these steps before this, if we were not thoroughly familiar with the writings and recordings and the letter of truth, then we would be attempting something in the nature of blind faith. But because we have the letter of truth, and we're doing this now, consciously knowing why, what we receive is going to be a permanent dispensation. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are permanent. All right. On the next page, as we lose faith in the things and thoughts of this world and transfer our allegiance to the infinite invisible, in that degree of spiritual unfoldment, I am losing those barriers that separate me from the God experience. And that's what we're doing. We're losing our faith in things out here. But now we're taking another step. We're losing our faith in words and thoughts in here. And finally, we're going to the only place that our Savior, our salvation, could ever be found. And that's deeper than all of that, to that kingdom within where the Spirit is released. This Spirit of the Lord will come as a continued experience, a frequent experience, until the day when it will be one that you attain at will. So here's what we can look at. We're beginning to make contact with the Spirit. We can believe that it will indeed set us free from the thoughts and things of this world, or the things and thoughts of this world. And then it will be a continuing experience. It will be a frequent experience until the day comes that we can attain it at will. But we're still not at the end of our journey. Even when we can attain it at will, there's another step and another. You can turn within any time you like and come out with the realization that the presence of the Lord has touched me, the Spirit of the Lord has touched me. Now, after that step of being able to do this at will, this is what will happen. And then, that will continue so that by your own abiding and faithfulness, the day will come when the Spirit may say to you, "Heretofore I have walked with you, but now I am beside you." And so that day will come when that Spirit is a constant, conscious companion beside you or within you. And then, at a later time, it may say, "Heretofore I have walked beside you, but now I am within you." And so the day will come when that Spirit is a conscious awareness, a conscious presence always within you, no matter where you go in this world, or the next, or the next, or the next. But that's not still all, because finally you will hear it say, "Heretofore I have been within you, but now I am you. I speak as you, I think as you. My power appears on earth through you. My home is your home. Your home is my home. Your consciousness and my consciousness are one and the same because it's now my consciousness." And so you will know, "I live yet not I. It is not Christ that lives as my individual experience." And this is what we are all walking towards. Complete union with that Spirit called God, with which we're just maybe perhaps making contact. And that comes as an experience to everyone who attains complete union with God. And everyone attains complete union with God after They have come into the realization that there is a spirit that makes free, and that I can experience that very spirit and its freedom. Not my freedom, but its freedom. It's Christ's freedom that we experience. It's Christ's life that we live. It's Christ's activity that appears on earth as your activity or my activity. And so it is. And he says, thank you. So, this chapter, as you can see, is buttressing up our fortress, which is that we have found this spirit. We have made a commitment to make contact with it. And we are learning to do it at will, consciously knowing that it will set at liberty us who have been captive to the thoughts and things of this world. And if it becomes a little bit negative for a while, keep walking. Keep making that contact. Put your trust in it. Don't run out here and try to rebuild the house. It says, except as the Spirit build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So, don't run out here to fix it. You just may rebuild something that, again, is thoughts and things of this world. Stand still. Yes, every day do that which is put in front of you to do, but don't become afraid and try to rebuild it. Let it go. Let the Spirit build your house, your consciousness, as well as that which is appearing out here. And then it will be permanent and lasting, and in fact it will be eternal. Once you have the consciousness that supplies you eternally, you will never be without again. That will be, even Joel says, a permanent dispensation. Where can you go in the world and not have that which you need, whether home, whether love, friendship, whether life, health? Where can you go? Nowhere, because whithersoever thou goest, I, this developed consciousness, goes with you. The spirit within which you have contacted and can contact at will, you can contact it anywhere. Even if you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, down that tunnel, and there's a great light in the distance, you can contact that spirit right where you are, and that dark tunnel will be lit up, I guarantee you. It does not matter in this world or the next, in any dimension. That's why it's so important that we develop and not run from or put it off till a later date. We develop the capacity to contact that spirit at will. And then eventually we know not when, but we do know that that spirit will begin living us, perhaps in small ways at first, but then greater and greater demonstrations. So, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. First, freedom within, from the need to have words or thoughts. And then freedom without, from being dependent on any person, place, or thing ever again. Thank you all who have stuck with this class and are continuing in your commitment. God bless, and may the Spirit of the Lord be upon you.